AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, hell has frozen over on WrestleMania weekend. I cannot believe after 60 episodes started the first episode asking the elusive Phantom to show up, had the son of the Phantom, but now officially after all the vignettes, all the buildup, like Ric Flair's World Heavyweight title in 1992, the Phantom has come to the podcast. Here we go. It should be a good one.
We've officially jumped the shark.
We have, yes, the Fonz has.
Yes, we have. Tom, be careful of the copyright infringement. Jim Rome uses that all the time.
Yep, get the lawyers ready for this episode because it's going to be a good one. So just like Fonzie jumping the shark or Cousin Luke and Vance showing up on the Dukes of Hazzard, we have officially jumped the shark. So for all the pop culture references, here we go. Ed, you know how we do? How do we start this off?
We're going to start off with Goonguard. Goonguard.com. Check him out. Best mouthpiece out on the market today. Check him out. I'm sure one of you guys has a logo to throw behind it.
I do. Here it is.
Look at that. Bang. Hey, look at that. Right there. Hey, it's right there.
Yeah.
Right there.
No
right
copyright
there.
Infringement.
Nope. There we go. Right there. Goonguard. Goonguard.com. Check out the promo code 1973, and you'll be very satisfied. 10 seconds in the microwave and they set in your mouth. Perfect. All right. Tonight's email is from Sarah from Woonsocket.
Hey.
It's about all
local.
She's local. Yeah. And
hey,
it's a female fan too. I mean, can you believe this? The Phantom's on and we have a female email. I mean, can you believe
that's not
it?
A coincidence, dude.
So Sarah writes in, since you guys are talking about movies, what about All Quiet on the Set and thoughts?
Thomas, you want to take that?
Yeah, it's something. We watched it in one sitting, really. It was on A&E a couple weeks ago, and it did so well that they've added an episode. They're going to have a new episode on Sunday, but the thing out of that is it's ridiculous. I mean, it goes on. I imagine it probably, I hate to say it, but it goes on a lot of networks like this. But the parents, as I'm watching this, there's only one woman who was there who kind of spoke up for her kid. All these other parents, I don't know if they're chasing the glory through their kids, so they didn't say anything. But I just, that's the thing I took out of the whole thing. I mean, and the guy, I don't know if the younger guys on the podcast know who Dan Schneider was, but when we were kids, he was on a TV series called Head of the Class.
Mm-hmm.
And he just worked his way up into that. And it's just, it was disgusting.
Yeah. And he wasn't even the most popular kid on the show as far as the actors. And Howard Hessman was the teacher from WKRP in Cincinnati, right? Dr. Johnny Fever. So there's a deep pull right there for
Dropping turkeys out of the helicopter.
Yeah. Famous episode. Bradford, did you watch it?
Yeah, man. Me and the wife sat down and watched it. And I mean, Dan Schneider is basically the Vince McMahon and Nickelodeon. And looking back at these episodes, man, that's some pretty raunchy jokes in there that he was putting on, you know, 10, 11, 12 year old girls. And then is basically like when one girl would age up and hit puberty, he'd be like, oh, you're off the show. Now we're going to bring in so-and-so, you know, and they just repeat the cycle. But, Josh Peck's father actually stood up for him. I think the guy's name was was it Brian?
Yes.
Peck or something? Yeah. That was a flamboyantly gay, you know, openly gay. Everybody was, you know, it was like, oh, there's Brian, the gay guy, but he was also, you know, diddling little boys. And Josh Peck's father was like, yo, keep that man away from my son. And literally Josh Peck's mother and
Drake Bell.
That's who it was. Drake Bell. Yeah, yeah. And literally Drake's mom and a legal team got together to oust the father to give basically hand over Drake to this pedophile, man. Like, Jesus Christ, man. It was insane. It's insane.
Yeah, I thought the only thing it was missing, and I hope maybe they would get to it, is adding Amanda Bynes to the show just to get that wow factor to it. Just, I don't know what she's got, or, you know, I know she's a little batshit crazy, but I think it would kind of just bring it all full circle if they were able to get an interview or some kind of soundbite from her some way, somehow. And yeah, I thought it was pretty crazy how a lot of that stuff was just hidden in plain sight for a lot of people not to, you know, kind of catch, but catch if it ever, you know, was, you know, if you're in the know, you know, and then if you don't, you don't get it. Like the Nickelodeon splash is the almost the overhead view of Epstein's Island. I don't know if you noticed that. They talked about it. And yeah, crazy stuff. I don't know if Chris got to watch it or has heard anything about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, first of all, thank you very much, Sarah, for the email. Definitely a good subject to touch on. Yeah, I mean, come on, dude. My age demographic, like Zoe 101, Drake and Josh, like I grew up watching all that crap, you know? It's so, like, it's pretty
crushes
wild.
Crushes on the girls back then.
Oh, Lizzie McGuire was my favorite, but yeah, you know. Yeah, man, it's just crazy to hear all this stuff going on now. It's I seen a little bit of the Drake interview. That was pretty wild. And like what Tom touched on before, just about like the parents almost, I mean, I guess money, whatever. It's crazy that you would subject your kids to the shit going on. It's pretty shocking. But yeah, I can't wait to get into it. I know there's, what, 5 episodes, I believe, total coming out on this thing.
There's 4 right now, and Tom was saying that there's a new one on
Sunday. 5 night. Total, yeah. So I'm definitely going to catch up on it. I have a Max subscription that I definitely going to get to when I get a chance when I'm doing nothing at work. That's my plan.
Phantom, floor is yours on this one.
Well, like a typical 50-year-old, wide awake, I'm like, yeah, I've been waiting to watch this. Bang, push play, 2 seconds in, sleeping.
My man. That's my move.
I was out. Game over.
Yep. Just like a typical, like a Cowboys fan.
Right. That's out. My move.
You know? We don't fall asleep till the playoffs come.
The takeaway for me was the Peck interaction and how it was allowed to happen and how they had showed a previous thing with him and Leo DiCaprio when he worked on Growing Pains. I thought you look at the, I don't know, the Easter egg in there, does it make you wonder about other things? And Bradford with the tinfoil hat segment, there's a lot of stuff we could talk about with that. I think that's a great deep dive. Just looking at the seediness of Hollywood. And I think the way to look at it is there's tons and tons and tons of people that get off the bus every day in that town. And how do you weed through all that without being like the Vince McMahon of a movie company? You can go all the way back to when I believe it was Shirley Temple was on Larry King Live one time, and he was talking to her about Hollywood being a little wacky. And he was like, couldn't believe what she was saying. Like, it wasn't true. And she was saying how her and her mother went to, when they were free agents, when their contract ran up at, like, I don't know, Columbia or something like that. And they went to like MGM and they got split up. One went to see one boss and one went to see another boss. And when Shirley Temple went in, and she was young, I don't even think she was a teenager yet. She walked in the room and the owner of MGM, one of them, was totally naked. And her first reaction as a young kid was to laugh at an old naked man. Mm-hmm. And that's what got her out of it. he just was embarrassed and she left. And when she saw her mother had a different look on her face. And she said, the same thing happened to me, but it was a little different. And that's how she left it. So it's always been a thing. It's just the glitz and glamour and what they throw at you might not exactly be as in the Wizard of Oz, what's behind the curtain, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's ways to look at it. And I hope, you know, who's ever involved with things like that get their due, because when it involves kids, it's kind of close to the heart if you're a parent. So, you know, whether it directly involves you or it just shouldn't go on, but it seems like it's been going on forever. I don't know if you get the same vibe that I get.
The thing that's funny is like the kids, it's always the parents. It's always like, whether it's the Michael Jackson stuff or it always seems like they got these like weirdo parents that are like delivering these kids to these people. And as long as they got stars in their eyes and they're willing to sacrifice their kids.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that's the term
to get somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, almost like if you don't allow it to happen to your kids, somebody else will. You know, it's like being Elvis's doctor. If he couldn't get the prescriptions from that doctor to have Elvis as a client, he's going to go to another doctor and eventually get it. So, you know what I mean? It's like the power of fame and you know, everything like that, like the Vince McMahon thing. I mean, how much of it, who finally outs the person and it's already too late? I mean, that horse left the barn a long time ago, probably in the 80s with the rise of WWE, but
yeah.
Anything to add to this, or shall we move on?
Only other
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
The thing I want to say is the other thing that was disturbing was the people in Hollywood that actually wrote letters in defense of this guy, Brian Peck, when he was being sentenced. There was like Alan Thicke, Joanna Kearns, the two of the kids from Boy Meets World, Ryder Strong and Will Friedle. I mean, they're kind of trying to backtrack now and say that they didn't know any of this stuff, but, and they were only kids at the time, but still they only showed a couple of the letters and there was a ton of them. So it's just ridiculous.
Well, it's almost like the type of thing where, you know, how people get their flowers after they pass away. This guy was a great guitar player and he, you didn't accolade the person when they were alive. It's almost like they wait till these people are gone to finally put the nails to them, and mm-hmm. it's already too late. It's like a thankless crime. Like, you know, if Pat Patterson gets mentioned in the Vince McMahon thing, he'll be a fall guy because he's passed away now. Yeah, why didn't you do it when they were alive, good or bad? You know, it happens, to, you know, like Eddie Van Halen being this great guitarist. Everybody knew, but he never got his flowers until after he passed away. Then he was at the Grammys and they had the famous Franken Strat on stage. That stuff really irks you as a fan because it's like, when it's good, you should do it. When it's bad, you should also, you know, put them where they belong. But I guess, you know, time will tell, and it's, you know, great talking point. And anything to, before we move on to close out this email, great email. I mean, not so much movie related, but I mean, great subject. The documentary is really hot right now. So it's something that everybody's talking about. So maybe
it kind of parallels what I'm going to talk about for the tinfoil hat segment. So it's a good email.
So speaking of movies, before we move on, I wanted to mention it last week. Louis Gossett Jr. passed away. So Bradford, when you heard about it, you lost your marbles.
I'm a little upset, man. Well, I don't want to say any military person, but Air Force folks, for the most part, loved the Iron Eagle movies. Corny and ridiculous. Look, have y'all seen Iron Eagle?
Yep.
They literally sneak onto an Air Force base, Louis Gossett Jr. and the pilot's son, and they steal an F-16 or some shit and fly to somewhere in the Middle East and just do a bombing run. land the plane, rescue his dad, and fly back to America. It is like pure 80s gold. But looking at it, like his filmography and whatever, he just kind of always made a lot of those corny B movie type flicks, but he'll go down as a legend for it, man. Because Iron Eagle, and you said he was in The Last Starfighter, right?
Was in The Last Starfighter, or was
Enemy
it,
Mine?
Enemy Mine. Yep.
Oh yeah.
He played the alien.
Yep.
Yeah, he wasn't cool enough for Last Starfighter, but he gets cred because they made like 4 million Iron Eagles.
So, best role Louis Gossett Jr. was the drill sergeant in Officer and Gentleman. That he was an absolute hot ass in that, calling what's his name, Mayo, the whole movie. Great. Richard Gere. So, you know, thoughts on Lou Gossett, Ed? Come on, big fan?
Oh, come on, man. I mean, Iron Eagle, come on, man. Who didn't like that?
Fucking Eagle.
Hey, I'm gonna fly an F-15, I'm gonna put a cassette in and fly in underneath the enemy radar. I'm gonna land the plane to pick up my dad. I mean, come on. I mean, to agree with Brad, I mean, like, yeah, totally an 80s movie. But great movie. I mean, Officer and Gentleman, I mean, that scene, you know, like with Richard Gere when he's Louis Gossett Jr. breaks him down and pretty much, and Richard Gere says, I got no other place to go. I mean, really, that's a kind of like one of those iconic scenes, you know?
Yeah. So,
I cried with it.
I think I cried when you said you were coming on the podcast.
Yeah, man. What a surprise to have the Phantom on.
Yeah, so here we go. New things, big things, year two. We got things going. So let's talk about, should we do shitty picks first or do some wrestling, Thomas? What do you think?
Whatever you want to do. It's up to you.
Let's do shitty picks. Take it away.
All right. Tom's Shitty Picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. The brewery is home to a banquet hall, an on-site restaurant, and a members-only lounge. Everything they brew is done in-house, including their sours, their lagers, and their vodka soda. They have something for everyone, so if you're in Whitby, go check them out and tell them the 1973 podcast sent you. All right, this week, it's still to be determined because this past week I took Ronald Acuna. They got rained out one day, so they lost a game there. So far, he's got 3 games left. So, but he's got 6 points, so it wasn't a great pick. It was a shitty pick. So this week here, I'm going to go pitching. I'm going to go with Brad's favorite team, the Texas Rangers. I'm going with Nathan Eovaldi. He's got 2 starts this week. He's going against Oakland, who I watched them against the Red Sox, and I don't think they could beat a double-A team right now. They're so bad. And he's got
you're watching with more than their fans.
Oh. And the second game, it's got against Houston. I think this, if you're going to catch Houston's lineup, it's do it in the beginning of the season. So I think he can come out with 2 wins.
So let me ask you why you picked Ronald Acuna. Didn't me and Ronald the Phantom Acuna. Went to high school with him, right? I believe he was on the Evoke Tech baseball team for a year or 2.
Wrong flavor.
Yo, Nasty Nate, that's a good pick. That's a good pick, Tom.
So how about we do some deep dives into this WrestleMania weekend? Shall we talk WrestleMania? Shall we talk Hall of Fame? Shall we talk Dark Side of the Ring? What do you think?
All of the above.
Okay, let's talk Dark Side of the Ring first before we get into this. Holly Race, a true legend in the sport of professional wrestling. True Hall of Famer. I'm going on record to say true Hall of Famer. They don't make them like that anymore. My daffy desire to see that man show up in his prime and just stretch everybody in AEW, top to bottom, except Samoa Joe. Just stretch all the midgets there and just call it a day. That's my daffy desire. Show them what wrestling's all about. Ed, thoughts on Holly Race? Did you watch it?
I sure did. And I thought that they did an excellent job. I mean, I think it goes on the template that we talked about last week. You know, they all have home life problems, you know, that type of thing. I mean, you know, I think that they kind of need to almost, when they do season 6, they need to kind of move away a little bit from that. Because, look, you get into the wrestling business, you're not a normal human being anyway, first and foremost, okay?
Very good point.
I mean, you can't call without saying that, okay? And then, you know, one thing I did find really interesting, I did not realize that he trained under the Zbyszko brothers before he was pretty much 16, and he started off working at circuses and carnivals and stuff like that. And I thought that was really interesting. I mean, I really remember him, you know, pretty much kind of around that 1983, 1984-ish. And then I remember him quite a bit with the WWE or WWF back in those days. With the King and that kind of thing, you know. So, you know, but I mean, the thing about it was that compared to a lot of the other stars, like, you know, the Ultimate Maniac and, you know, Hogan and Macho Man. I mean, he could definitely talk on the mic, but he didn't have that flash that would keep your attention, you know. There's no question that, you know, I mean, he truly was like Flair, and he really was a 60-minute man, and he walked the walk, and went back in the age in kayfabe, he never broke character. So I can really appreciate that. So, I mean, I'll agree with you. Definite Hall of Famer. There's no questions behind that whatsoever.
Chris, did you watch it?
I did. Me being
go ahead.
Being the baby of the podcast, I didn't even know who this dude was, right? But
I didn't either, bro.
My appreciation for wrestling and the history of it, you know, I've seen every single Dark Side of the Ring episode. So I love hearing about it. It's actually pretty amazing. This dude was just hard-nosed badass, clearly. You know, all the shit that he went through between his accidents, the boating accident really got me. And then the lady that was having problems ended up suing him for $250,000. We've heard this how many times in these Dark Side of the Rings. These guys are basically down to nothing, broke for whatever reason that happened to be his reason. So what does he do? Come back on, try to, as a manager, just trying to, you know, recoup or make some more of that money back. So, like, a lot of good story with him, though. I was impressed just how rugged he was, and, you know, these big name guys. I wish I knew more about, but that's what stuff like this is good for. I love watching it. So, all good episodes, man. Even the people I've never heard of.
Bradford,
bro, I was 4 years old when he debuted at WWF as the King.
So.
Four.
Oh God!
But I did a deep dive with this guy on YouTube because he was the original badass of wrestling. Like there will never be another one like him. He lived it on screen, off screen. This dude was in and out of jail as a kid. He was actually charged of sexual assault as like a teenager, but was acquitted. He worked the Kansas Territory. Back when that was a thing, the car crashes. He actually got in a car wreck in December of I forget what year, but his pregnant wife passed in that car wreck. And this guy just was always walking away from like the most brutal things in life.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Elvis Presley was actually one of his biggest fans. I don't know if they covered that in the documentary.
They did not.
He broke his ankle attempting a backflip. He was one of like the first to like pull these acrobatic moves, broke his ankle, finished the match, like insisted that they finish the match, would not go to the hospital, drove 100 miles home to Nashville or whatever before he finally went to the doctor. He was drafted in Vietnam, but couldn't pass the physical because his body was so wrecked from wrestling. That's insane, right? And then Ric Flair actually credits Harley Race for putting him over at Starrcade. Ric Flair said that was the match that basically made Ric Flair, you know? And yeah. I thought that was pretty legit, man. So original tough guy, man, like, man, we need some more of that in modern day WWE.
Phantom, what do you got? King Holly, big fan of the LJN guy?
You know, my appreciation for Harley Race comes more as I get older, because like when we were kids, I didn't really think much of them. Very kind of vanilla matches, but to later on find out that the guy was like a legit tough guy, And the reason why he had the belt is because if anybody was going to play any games, they couldn't take the belt off him. It was, you know, you're going town to town and somebody decides they're going to try you, you're not coming away with that belt. And it's like, much like, you know, a little years later with Haku, same kind of thing. You watch him in the ring, he's all, you know, pretty decent or whatever. But like later on, when you start hearing the stories that the guy was like legit tough, just kind of adds to it a bit, you know?
Before we get to the professor, I just want to add, they touched on it so little with that Stockade 83 where Vince wanted him to show up in the WWE and not show up at Starrcade and did that match because of how he was and what the epitome of being the NWA champion was and how he respected Flair so much. And a lot of people think that was Ric Flair's first title reign. That was his second reign. Mm. They did a big buildup for that where they had taken the belt off of him in May of 83. And they did this whole really cool thing with Flair as a babyface all the way up to Thanksgiving. So it was a 6-month thing where Harley Race showed up in Mid-Atlantic and he put a bounty on him and these guys were trying to take out Flair and Bob Orton, Cowboy Bob Orton and Dick Slater were like the two hitmen and they were going after Flair and going after Flair and going after him and they couldn't get him and they were trying to beat him down and catch him and the way the storytelling should be with wrestling was the big blow off in the cage for the reason of to keep all the guys out. And they had that famous match with the camera hanging over the ring. First time ever, closed circuit, big pay-per-view way before WrestleMania. So when the granddaddy of them all is not WrestleMania, it was originally Starrcade. That's plus I'm an NWA fan, but if there was no Starrcade, there would be no WrestleMania. Professor, weigh in.
First of all, let me say I agree with the Phantom. I was never a fan growing up of Harley Race. I always thought he was a boring wrestler as a kid. But as we've gotten older, really respect him for what he did and for how long he did it for. I mean, when you look at the thing, he was like wrestling when he was like 13 or 14 years old. But some of the crazy stories they put in there where he had to travel around with a 700-pound wrestler named Happy Humphrey, and then he had to pay his dues by giving him a bath with a hose and a sponge. That had me cracking up. But then the stories that, I mean, you don't know if they're true or not, but that Trevor Murdoch was talking that Harley Race told him about the time that he supposedly went looking for Hogan when he thought WWF at the time was coming into his territory in Kansas City, and he went chasing Hogan looking for him with a gun, and then he supposedly lit the ring on fire. And then I like the story where they said he and Vince kind of got into it backstage or something one time horsing around, and Vince tried to take him down with a single leg takedown, and I guess he ended up putting Vince to sleep. So it's just some of the crazy stories. I mean, it's sad. There was a lot of sad things happened to him in his life, but I mean, I thought it was good, but I agree. They need to get away from that. All these stories are the same. They're all cookie cutter, same things, like same background with these guys. I'd like to see them go a different way if they do it next year.
Yeah, I think that they should start like they did Tales from the Territories, which was basically talking about each territory. I'd like that. The other thing they need to get away from is the Dark Side of the Ring originally started out with like the Bruiser Brody murder, the Jimmy Snuka thing. That's the Dark Side. These are more like biographies under that umbrella where they should maybe spin it off to a separate show. And they could do a lot more wrestlers if they went that route. And I hate when they do them after the guys pass away because it's so much. Thank God for Jim Cornette, who's a wrestling historian, where he fills in all the gaps perfectly. He like tells you, like not as a talent, but as like an uber fan, which I like. And, you know, if it wasn't for him being the glue to a lot of those stories, he actually should be the narrator of, I think, of most of the, you know, Jericho's there, but I think Jim Cornette does a great job as a wrestling historian. So let's talk WrestleMania Hall of Fame. We brought it up. One of the biggest critics I know.
Coming on in an hour.
Hey, Phantom. Here's your forum. What is a WWE Hall of Famer? Lay it on us.
First off, If nobody ever bought a ticket just to go to wrestling, just to see you, should it be in the Hall of Fame? It shouldn't be for mid-carders. That's strictly main event. There probably should be like legit like 50 guys in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And it's not the Hall of Okay. It's supposed to be
I love it. The Hall of Okay.
Yeah. CM Punk touched on that this week on the podcast that he was on. He talked about how, do you want to have a 5-star match in front of 50 people, or do you want to be the guy that everybody wants to watch at 9 o'clock when the show stops? Look at the AEW thing that's going on now. They're doing everything to discredit him. And the view on wrestling is you want to make money for everybody. Going back to the NWA champion, the guy that was on top, was his job to promote big cards so that everybody on the card got paid. So if you're not putting asses in seats, and there's the difference between being the greatest wrestler of all time and the biggest drawer of all time. Greatest wrestler of all time is probably, you know, arguably Flair, arguably. But the greatest drawer of all time that made people want to go is like Hogan. He was the one that boomed. As much as Vince put the rocket on his back, Hogan, he was the one that started that whole bringing wrestling mainstream, MTV. All the commercial success that came out of that, merchandising and everything. You know, the rock and wrestling connection, all that stuff because of Hogan. But going back to what is a Hall of Famer, it's the Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair. You stop from there, and then you either go backwards or forwards. You know, who cares how many 5-star matches you've had? What is a 5-star match anymore? I mean, you can't compare a 5-star match, Steamboat and Macho Man at WrestleMania 3, compared to a 5-star match now. Because
most of the time, the guys that are having the 5-star matches are the guys that are doing the selling is what's making the matches. They're not even the top guys.
Right. Exactly.
That was the thing about what Flair always talked about. That he, I mean, if you watch the 30 for 30 on ESPN or one of the deeper cuts on there, I mean, he pretty much said, I mean, I really was always defensive, and I always was, and that's how I made my put other guys over.
You look at Flair in his prime. How many offensive moves does that guy get in? And they're all cheap shots.
And then his finishing move was typically the figure four, and typically somebody would reverse it or somebody would jump in the ring and get him off of him.
Yeah, how many big matches did Flair – big matches did he win with the figure four? Even when he beat Holly in the cage, he won on a high cross body that went over the referee. So, I mean, it's all in the storytelling, and that's what brings people in. We talk about it all the time. Everybody, like Edge, comes on this week on AEW and he tries to save face with the promo saying, everybody loves wrestling. I get everybody loves wrestling, but the people that brought you to wrestling are not the same fans as they are now. It's a different animal. It's two totally different. You're either going to like the storytelling and big stars, or you're going to like, you know, independent style of matches. So, I mean, thoughts on... Did anybody see the CM Punk interview this week?
Yeah. What'd you think? No. I liked it. He came across likable, to be honest with you. And he made a lot of sense with what he said with, like, he's talking about what happened backstage and with like Jack Perry and then the whole brawl that happened. I mean, he makes sense. And it was Tony Khan. It doesn't sound like he knows how to control anything backstage. It looks like he's trying to be, it looks like he's so much of a mark with these guys that he's afraid to say anything. He doesn't want to be a leader.
Right. And he's not a good boss. He's a rich guy playing with wrestling figures. That's what it seems like to me. He's like a rich guy that can buy like all kinds of figures, and you're just making cards on a notebook, and you're not telling any stories.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn,
and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Look at the last really good angle they had. It was CM Punk with MJF. And it led up to an epic dog collar match that you, and now one of the biggest things that I always thought WWE was lacking was the blood. Now, if they're bringing the blood back, what else are they going to bring back? Are they going to bring back the metal steel cage? Are they going to bring back like actual like strap matches and dog collar matches? Not every week, but to blow off a storyline. Is that what they, I hope that's what they're building to, because you got me, and I hope this weekend is mind-blowing. Speaking of that, where is MJF? Does he show up this weekend? Quick round table. Chris, MJF show up in WrestleMania this weekend? What do you think? Yes or
nah, no? Nah, I mean, you know, supposedly he's, what, recovering from injuries and whatnot. I know that he's not listed on the AEW roster, but I'm pretty sure I read on Ring Insider News or something that he's still locked on the contract, right?
Okay.
So, I mean, and then he was in Boston, right, with AEW officials. Unfortunately, I wish. I would love it. I love his narcissistic ass. He's, you know, it's like me in everyday life. I fucking love the dude. I would love to see him in WWE. It's not going to happen. Not yet. Not yet.
Ed, MJF, this weekend, you're going to see him at WrestleMania?
I don't know, man. I'll have to say this. If he's still under contract with AEW, then no. But if who knows, with the new powers of play with the WWE, they could buy that contract out and he could be there. They could bring him out, put him in the crowd late, and then it could be somebody out of the crowd. You never know.
Thomas, what do you think?
I am with Chris. I think he's under contract, but they have let, like, now granted, Jericho is an old school guy. They have let Jericho go on Stone Cold's podcast before, and he was under contract. So not to say, I mean, if they wanted to build this into a storyline and have like AEW guys come in and help Cody win the belt or something, start like a, I don't know, like, I don't think they'd ever do it, but you never know with Triple H, because Triple H seems more open to doing these type of things. And I don't think it's going to happen, but I wouldn't mind seeing it happen. I would definitely like to see. But MJF is such a broad thinker. I think he could be setting up for when his contract is up. Like, they're saying The Rock will be back for WrestleMania 40 or 41, and or 41, I guess it is. And he could be setting up something for then. You never know.
Bradford, what do you think?
I mean, I would love to see MJF out at WrestleMania, but barring some grand miracle, some divine intervention, I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's one of their biggest stars, right? They've already lost a lot of huge talent to WWE just in the last year. If they lost MJF and he debuts on WrestleMania, you might as well write the obituary for AEW. Like, there's no coming back from that. Now, I think it is possible for Dustin Rhodes. Dustin Rhodes has never been mega talent, main event talent. Like, if Dustin Rhodes, if they allow the crossover for Mania, like, that's good business for Tony Khan. That's good business because he's still under contract with AEW. WWE already had TNA talent showing up at their last Royal Rumble. All right. Like, they've already shown they're open and willing to do crossover events. So I could see a Dustin Rhodes coming in to help Cody. And then he goes back to AEW. He goes back to wrestling and developing the Von Erichs and doing that whole thing that he's doing with them right now. I could see that. That's good business. Letting your biggest star go to the opposition and losing them for a contract is bad business. And as a big idiot as Tony Khan, that's not going to happen.
Phantom, what do you got?
Not happening. I don't see it happening at all. I think as much of a fan of MJF that I am, I think he might be a little bit of a big fish, small pond. He goes to WWE. Where's he gonna go? He's gonna be mid card.
NXT.
He's gonna be like US champion, that kind of mid. To be honest, I'd rather just see him stay in AEW and be the top guy. At least it gives you a little bit of variety when if you like watching both shows.
Yep.
Yeah, good point. I said it a while back. I do have a feeling Dustin Rhodes is going to show up. I think if Cody's there's two scenarios I'll give you: winning the belt, losing the belt. And I should save this for when we pick, because I'm in the middle. Do they do the turn where everybody turns on Cody and just kicks the shit out of him, Dusty style, or is he like bloody, beat up? They're both digged up. You can't believe what you're seeing. The blood all over the place. Last match. And Solo comes out. The Usos come out. They already turned on him. Rollins comes out. They already turned on him from the night before. And then out of the crowd, the hoodie on. Nobody knows he's there. Dustin jumps over the... Not dressed as Goldust. Dressed as Dustin Rhodes. Rolls Cody over Roman somehow, 1, 2, 3, with the stale cover, you know, where he's just exhausted and he can't even get up. And then Dustin like lifts him up. End of Rocky II, greatest ending in a sports movie. The Yo Adrian, I did it. Doesn't care about anything else. Flash bulbs, everything, blood, classic photo for the universe. That's how I want to see it end. But I don't know. Do they keep the story going? I think they could. Get another year out of it. That's just me. I think they could get a whole nother year out of Cody. You know, he fails. They all turned on him. He goes right down to the bottom of the card. The whole year he's going to work himself up again. It does write itself, but anyways.
Or what they could do is he could win it just in the bloody style, and then it could turn into something else.
Yeah, it could be. You
know? So maybe. He could turn into something else. Yeah, I mean, they could, you know, hey, look, we really need to push him over because we kind of knocked him back down a couple more. He really needs, and then it could be one of those quick turns, right?
Yeah.
You know, he wins it, and all of a sudden he loses it a week later on like Raw or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Well, they already did the, he lost it and had to climb back up when he lost it last year, though. So that would just be redundant. He's trademarked the Renaissance era. So that was something I shared in the group chat. Like I think they're making moves. I've kind of seen spoilers of the new championship belt, and it is Cody Rhodes themed. But I don't know if that's legit or some dickhead just like shared that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't think they're gonna let him lose and then build him back. Like, I think this is gonna be a now or never moment, and he's already the face of the franchise. I mean, this dude has potential to be one of the biggest stars they've ever had, you know, if they play it the right way.
They had him, though. They always had him. If they had just used him as Cody Rhodes, the ultimate babyface, I mean, how many guys can leave and reinvent themselves like that, that your stock is so high that, and then come back and just be who you always were, almost like when Stone Cold became actual Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's almost like what Cody did after the Ringmaster gimmick and all that stuff. Just being himself. And what they don't understand is a lot of times Joe Schmo being Joe Schmo works. He doesn't have to be a plumber, a garbage man, or you know, a submarine pilot. He doesn't have to be all these things. He can just be a regular dude. And they don't give gimmicks in the UFC. That's what I'm always talk about, the sports-based presentation. They don't give gimmicks in the USC. You're who you are, and you create your gimmick out of a bigger persona of yourself, like Flair or Hogan. It's just yourself turned up to 11. That's it. It's not that hard.
Hey, when it comes to wrestling, I think the thrill of the chase is always I want a heel. I want a heel world champion.
Yeah, right.
You want to hate that guy so much that you're rooting for that babyface to finally get there. And if he doesn't get there, the money is in the chase of it. Once he gets it, then where do you go from there?
Right.
Roman Reigns has been the champ for so fucking long, and now there's even rumors of Damian Priest. God bless Damian Priest, man. of him cashing in his money in the bank on Cody Rhodes. And I'm like, get out of here. Nobody wants that right now. No, cash in on Seth Rollins. Yes. 100%.
Chris.
No, I do. I want that. That's exactly what I'm hoping is going to happen. I'm so not a Cody Rhodes fan. Never was.
Blasphemy.
Listen, Philadelphia Flyer fan. It is what it is. I would love to see Damian Priest. I love Damian Priest. Something needs to happen. He needs to get out of that group, and he needs to win the belt. The guy's amazing. I love his character. I love everything about the dude. I'd love to see him as a heel champion. So,
but
see.
you know why you like Damian Priest? Because he looks like a wrestler. He looks like a wrestler should. Somebody that if you ran into, you'd say like, oh yeah, that guy's a wrestler. Not some guy that you're bigger than, and his brother. That all they do is 17,000 super kicks and kick out of everything. You know what I'm talking about.
Yo, hot take, Judgment Day implodes at WrestleMania.
Yeah, probably. I mean, everything has a shelf life with those runs, right?
Yep. It's happening. So
let's talk WrestleMania picks. Let's get some picks in. Thomas, you got the card? Let's start just Saturday, go from the bottom card to the main event.
All right. This is the order that I have right now that they supposedly are doing both nights, but night one.
Hold on. Thomas, you got to say card subject to change. You're an old school fan. Come on now.
Card subject to change. Match one for the WWE Women's Championship.
Oh, Becky Lynch. You lost me. You lost me already. Ripley.
Brad.
Surprisingly, I'm not a fan of Becky Lynch. Like, she had her time. She's old school. I actually really enjoy Rhea Ripley for a lot of different reasons watching her wrestle.
That a boy.
She will retain the title. There's no way Becky Lynch can beat Rhea Ripley. Could body slam any one of us on this podcast. Like, she's there. It's not even believable for Becky Lynch to win that.
Would you let her body slam you with clothes on or off?
Clothes off, thumb in.
What a guy.
What a guy.
Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, no, the Ripley's got to keep that. Becky, you know, the whole man persona, that run is come and gone. She needs to figure it out, switch it up. I don't know if she still is relevant. Maybe Seth Rollins has a little bit to do with that. I don't know. I don't see the pop as much as it used to be. Ripley's just on fire right now. She's a beast. Like, what a physical specimen. Absolutely. She's going to take that.
Phantom.
Definitely going Rhea. She's by far, I think, their best woman star. She's definitely, I think she's definitely going over for sure.
Ed?
I'm going to go with Rhea, but I really don't care.
Good answer.
The
Ed, with the women matches, come on, do you shut off the volume?
I just turned the channel.
Andy? Just being...
So it's, I'm going Rhea Ripley. I think that's the clean sweep. Tom, you picking Rhea Ripley too?
I am, and I'll tell you one thing, though. My stepdaughter actually wants to get the pay-per-view because her favorite band is going to be there live doing Rhea Ripley's intro, Motionless in White. So she actually wants to get it just to see the band, which I told her they're only going to be there for like 2 minutes. But
well, at least you get to reap the rewards of it. So if you're going to get it, it's for podcast purposes.
All right.
Bro, just sign up for Peacock. You can watch it. It's like $10 a month. Watch it on Peacock.
Second match of the night is the six-pack ladder match for the tag team championship. Awesome Truth versus New Day versus A-Town Down Under versus the New Catch Republic versus DIY versus the Judgment Day. Brad.
I love the New Catch Republic. I wish those guys would win. I don't think they will. I think it's going to be Awesome Truth.
All right. Chris.
Yeah, Awesome Truth right now, for whatever reason, they're kind of shooting up the ladder. That, to me, that's way too much of a tag team extravaganza, whatever the fuck you want to call that. That's just a mess. I don't care for that six-pack shit. That drives me nuts.
Not even excited for it.
You know, I'll just say Finn Balor and Damian Priest are going to lose the titles. We'll go with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Phantom.
That's when I'm going to go grab a drink and go have something to eat. That's I hate the big mixed tag style stuff. It's
too much.
I'll go Awesome Truth as well, I guess, and garbage.
All right, Ed.
I'm gonna pile on to what Ryan just said. Look, that's even worse than the women's championship match. I definitely just changed the channel. Look, if it's a tag team championship, it needs to mean something. Mm-hmm. And it's just I would rather sit
right there. Good call, Ed.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm going because I heard a stat the other day that was dropped subtly. Kofi Kingston has never won a match at WrestleMania, so I'm going New Day on this one.
I'd like to see that.
I'm going to go with the new team. I think they really, really like Pete Dunne backstage. I think New Catch Republic's going to take that. But I agree. If they need to bring back the Money in the Briefcase match. I think they started that match, I believe, in this WrestleMania. I don't know why they ever went away from it, but that's for another day. The third match is another one kind of I'm not very interested in. Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio versus Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. Brad.
Bro, they trying to make the LWO a thing. And look, me and the boy, we love Viva La Raza. All right, we are getting into it, but it's not that exciting. At any rate, I think Rey Mysterio, whether it's Dragon Lee or Carlito, or as of SmackDown, it could potentially be, what was his name that came over from AEW? I'm drawing a blank right now.
Andrade.
Yeah, it could be Rey Mysterio and Andrade for that match. And I think whoever, Rey and his partner will win that for sure.
Chris?
This WrestleMania card is not seeming that exciting day one, but I mean, I guess it's just so easy and fun to hate Dirty Dom, so I hope he wins.
All right, Phantom.
I am also going Dirty Dom. He is the only one wrestling in that match that's actually relevant today.
All right.
Absolutely.
Ed?
This is boring.
Me and Ed need someone to send us the text once all these matches are done.
Matches that we've been talking about and wasting our time on. That's what they're going to be chanting in the crowd. That's what they're saying. I don't care. I'm going to go with Ray's team, but that's what the crowd's going to be saying. I mean, like that match is worse than the women's match and then the tag team match. I mean,
so Ed, so you're
it's
saying
a slow it's burn.
It's a slow build.
Yeah, it's a slow burn of dog shit.
Is this the Saturday free for all?
Yeah. I'm going Ray's team, whoever it may be, just because it's a big stage. So that's what I'm going with. And with the Judgment Day imploding, they're gonna have all the guys lose. So Thomas,
I'm gonna go with Ray with Dominic's team, and I think Ray, this could be his last WrestleMania, so I think he's gonna do what the old school guys used to do and put somebody over, and this just happens to be his son. So I'm gonna go with Dominic. Next match, the Battle of the Usos, Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso. Brad,
I'm so hyped for this match. There's every super kick. We got to take a drink. That is the deal. Every super kick, we will take a drink, a shot, a swig of beer, whatever your choice is, sweet tea, whatever. All right, Diet Coke, whatever. Jey Uso wins. Also, Rikishi shows up to guest referee.
Okay.
Oh.
Chris?
Jey.
All right. Phantom.
I'm going to go Jey, even though I think he's the one that's getting like the big push. So I'd kind of be like, have his brother cheat to beat him kind of thing. But yeah, I think I'm going Jey. He's
Ed.
Utah.
I'm going to go with Jey.
All right. Andy.
I'm going with main event Jey.
All right. I'm going to go with MOL. This got built into my broader storyline that somewhere down the line, the bloodline's going to split into two factions. All right, next match. It's going to be another snooze fest. Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi versus Damage Control. Brad.
Listen, fellas. Rhea Ripley is actually fun to watch, first of all. Jade Cargill is also fun to watch, all right? For that, I think WrestleMania, this is going to be a night of factions being dissolved. I think they're going to be Damage Control. There's no way you have these three jacked up women lose to Damage Control. There's no way. There's no way.
Chris?
Yeah, let's go with Bianca.
All righty. Phantom?
Jade Cargill. The start of a big push.
Yep. Big push.
Ed?
Ed, that's your girl.
It is. I'm going to have to go with her, but I'm also going to say that this whole card up until this point has been pretty much Damage Control.
Andy.
I can't follow that without saying I agree 100% on that segment, Ed.
I mean, like, who put these matches together? Seriously? Come on.
And I've got
to
go.
They're bad, but I'm not switching over to AEW.
Yeah, that's true.
All the AEW stars in WWE anyway.
There's no way they can have Jade Cargill lose in her first WrestleMania, where they're building her up so much. So I'm going with that team. The next match, I think, could be a show stealer, in my opinion. Sami Zayn versus Gunther for the Intercontinental title.
Ooh.
Brad.
Ooh.
Man, I want Sami Zayn to win this one so bad. I don't think Gunther's a very likable guy. He does. He's a villain. He's a heel.
But he's like the one-day Holly Race.
To me, when I watch Gunther, minus the chest slaps, because he brings the heat with them, with the slaps, but he's kind of, to me, he's boring to watch, dude. Sami Zayn is fun.
So who's your pick?
Sami Zayn, man.
All righty. Chris.
Sami Zayn's too fruity for me. Freaking fruitcake. I'm not a fan whatsoever. Not to say that I think Gunther should continue holding on to this Intercontinental title. It's getting a little annoying, but Gunther will take
it. All
right. Phantom.
Sami Zayn, Sunday morning. Gonna be very sore. I'm going Gunther.
All right. Ed?
I'm gonna go with Gunther. I mean, why are they gonna if he's still carrying the torch, they're not gonna have him lose it. So,
AC,
I am going with Gunther. He's old school as it gets nowadays. He's the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all time, and Sami Zayn is not the name to break it. So,
he's no honky, Andy.
You know, the self-proclaimed greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. Gunther.
I'm going with Sami Zayn because I think that this is going to be the start of a big push for Gunther with one of the heavyweight titles. I don't know which one he'll have him go after, but I think they're pushing him. If you noticed, he's kind of I don't know if they're pushing him to hit the gym because you know how they like those guys to actually have a little bit of a physique and not show a little bit of fat. So I think they're going to get ready to push him.
Next match
is the main event. Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins versus The Rock and Roman Reigns. Brad.
I think it wouldn't be WrestleMania unless The Rock and Roman Reigns win this match. And I think Seth Rollins hurts his back or his knee in this match.
All right. Chris.
Yeah, we'll go with Rock and Reigns.
All righty. Phantom.
Rock and Reigns. So the all the chaos can happen on day two.
All righty. Ed.
Finally, the great one has come back.
The final boss.
What do you think?
AC?
Well, I think it's part of a bigger storyline that is going to culminate on Sunday night. I just think that's just part of that big build for something to happen. And don't be surprised if some mini storyline happens to inflate the next night. Like they have to do something or there's a stipulation that comes out of it, because they got to leave you hanging to watch it the next day. So if the regular match doesn't get you into it, Roman Reigns and The Rock will win with some kind of dog and pony show with it. It's not going to be a clean tag match. No way. But they will win, just to keep you butthurt that there's a chance that it's not going to happen for Cody. So,
yep.
I just saw a stat today that The Rock has only won 6 matches in WrestleMania, the WrestleManias he's been in. So this will be 7. I think they're going to win this. They're going to set up something, though, for what my pick is for WrestleMania for the day 2. The Rock, somewhere along the line, either The Rock's going to hit Reigns or Reigns is going to spear The Rock by accident. They're still a win, but that's going to put a seed in everybody's head for night 2. So I'm going that way. So that's night 1, guys. Night 2. This is the same thing, card subject to change, but this is the match lineup as of today. Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins for the WWE World Heavyweight title. Brad.
Drew beats Seth. Seth is butthurt. Leads to the heel turn against Cody. Damian Priest cashes in Money in the Bank against Drew McIntyre.
I like it. Chris.
I absolutely love that scenario. We'd like to see that. So, sure. Let's go with that.
All righty. Phantom.
I'm going Drew. Drew's going over.
All right.
Heel Drew is phenomenal, by the way.
He is. Yes, I totally agree.
Ed?
Seth Rollins.
All righty. How about AC?
Well, I think Brad took my scenario right from me, and I'm going to agree with him because we have the same taste in a lot of things.
Except for you, no dude. Homo. You have to say no homo when you say stuff like that.
Well, the Oriental Spike works for you.
I'm going to go with Drew McIntyre as well. That was who, way back when we were trying to decide who was going to win. I believe it was one of the scenarios I picked Drew McIntyre. So I'm going to keep going with him. I think it's time to put the belt on him where people are actually in the crowd. This is going to be his payback from the officials, because he was a champion when they had no fans there. They were in the bubble. So I think this will actually be able to do it now with fans, and doing it as a bad guy, I agree, is 100% better than he is as a face.
100%.
Well, you're going to have time to calm down after that match, because the next match is going to be the Pride. Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits versus the Final Testament, which is the Authors of Pain and Karrion Kross in a Philly street fight. Brad. Ooh.
I'm huge on the Authors of Pain right now. I don't know why this match is in WrestleMania. Authors of Pain.
All right. Chris.
Yeah, I'm rolling with Authors of Pain as well.
All right. Phantom.
Agree with both those guys. Another stinker.
Yeah. This is a reason for them to get Scarlett Bordeaux
Now you're talking.
All right, Ed.
I'm not even going to comment.
It's that bad.
Andy. Watch my brain.
It's sad when the best thing about that match is the managers, Paul Ellering and Scarlett Bordeaux. That is the best thing about that match. Oof. I don't even. Jeez.
This is a match, being that it's a Philly street fight, where, I mean, wouldn't make any sense, but if they're going to bring any of the old ECW guys out to do something, this is the match to do it. So you might see, I don't know if he's able to, if how well he's even walking right now, but Sabu, somebody like that, Sandman, to come on out. But
The Dudleys, Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah, well, Tommy Dreamer is on, he's like head of Impact right now, so I don't know if they let him go, but I'm going to go with Karrion Kross and Authors of Pain, only because I had to pick somebody.
Time limit draw. Tommy.
Yes. Next match. LA Knight versus AJ Styles. Brad.
I think they wouldn't build LA Knight up for no reason. He's going to win. Although I am a fan of AJ Styles in this one, I think LA Knight wins it.
Chris?
Yeah, LA Knight's getting that push right now, but I want to see my boy Styles. Let's go.
All right, Phantom.
Going AJ Styles.
All righty.
Go.
Ed.
Silent and profiling, baby.
All righty. Andy?
This is about as mid-card as WWE gets right now. This is total. Back in the day, this would be the total epitome of an intercontinental title match right here. I'm going to go AJ Styles because it doesn't seem like they like LA Knight as much as they once did. So I'll go AJ Styles.
Yeah.
AJ Styles because Kevin Nash hates him, and Kevin Nash and Triple H are so tight that Triple H is going to end up making him look at the lights. But I don't know if you guys saw it yesterday. They had the media day, and they ended up having those two get in a brawl. And it looked like it wasn't meant to happen, but AJ Styles got a bloody nose. He didn't look too happy about it.
Mm.
All right, next match. A three-way match for the U.S. title. Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens versus Logan Paul.
Ed likes a good three-way.
Especially Brian. I'm not even going to say it. Okay, so I like Logan Paul. He's a great athlete. He needs to work on his selling. I don't understand why this is a three-way match.
For the U.S. title, right?
Yeah. I don't understand why it's a three-way. I think Kevin Owens is going to win because Randy Orton has been, although he's been RKO-ing the shit out of everybody, he has also come back and has made it a point to really help put a lot of these other dudes over. I think Kevin Owens wins this match, 100%.
Chris?
I'm so not a fan of Kevin Owens, especially since he stole the damn Stone Cold Stunner. Get the fuck out of here. That's not your move. And he looks terrible doing it, by the way. It drives me nuts. I don't know if it's the pot belly or what it is, but
he's a man's man. He's not ripped. He's just like an average guy wrestling.
But you guys the rest got of the us. Same build, Chris.
Logan Paul. Logan Paul all day. He's the man. I love his energy in the ring. I love everything that he does. He's taking that all day.
Logan Paul's the next big thing in wrestling.
Let me get this straight. You're rooting against a guy that's got the same build as you because you like Logan Paul because you like Prime.
Yes, there you go.
Prime is delicious. I'm not even that shit is good.
Ugh. I like only the blue.
The strawberry banana is fucking delicious, by the way.
Do you know we're looking for sponsors, so push the Prime.
Phantom, who you got?
I'd like to think that it'd be Randy Orton, but I don't think they're gonna put a mid-card title on him, so I'll go Kevin Owens.
All righty. Ed?
I want to go Randy Orton, but that's under protest because you shouldn't be doing – that's two titles that they're having three different people do it. That's stupid. It's bad storytelling, and it sucks.
Yeah.
It's almost like fucking Vince Russo is back in charge or something, or fucking Eric Bischoff or something.
AC?
Well, I don't like him, but I'm going to go Logan Paul. Just to keep the Prime and the sponsorship.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna go. I can't see them giving Orton the belt because his back is like iffy where he could go down at any point. I'm going to go with Kevin Owens only because I think they've had Logan Paul there enough. I think he's kind of got the rub and he gave them the rub with his all the younger guys. So I'm going to go with Kevin Owens on that one. Next match for the WWE Women's Championship, Bayley versus Io Sky. Brad.
Bro, we have three women's matches.
More than that.
This is unnecessary. I don't know. Bayley. I don't know.
All right. Chris.
Yeah, my girl Bayley's looking thick and in charge. She's looking real good. I think she's going to take it. And, maybe you should clean your glasses if you notice this belly is kind of flattening out here. I've been doing a lot of work lately. All right, there.
that's a big shirt.
I think Bailey's overrated in the looks.
Meet him on the ice, Andy. Meet him on the ice.
All right, you picked
at his age. Come on, Brad.
All right, Ed.
I'm going to go with Bayley, but really it should be Jade Cargill or Charlotte Flair. How about that?
Charlotte has a knee injury.
She can't wrestle on her leg.
Why not? She could do better than everybody else that's out there, just saying.
Not better than Rhea Ripley.
So who's in this match again?
Bayley and Io Sky.
That's your opinion, William. How's that?
I'm gonna go with Bayley. I'm gonna tell you why. The best thing about her is she grew up a big Macho Man fan. So and she does do a nice elbow drop. But other than that, there's nothing going on in this match at all. Nothing. Tokyo Drift versus the girl next door. That's about it. There's nothing special about either one of them.
All right. I'm going with Bayley. I think they're going to break up that damage control after the WrestleMania.
Tokyo Drift?
Yes.
I don't know if you're allowed to say that.
All right. The main event, the one we've all been waiting for. Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns for the WWE Undisputed Universal title. Brad.
Woo, buddy. Cody Rhodes wins it. Finish the story. Dustin comes in. Everybody cries. It's going to be monumental, very emotional. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be epic.
Brad, blood or no blood in that match?
I think it is going to be bloody. I think this is going to – The Rock is going to push the limits on what this match can be, and Cody Rhodes is down. If you watched last Monday Night Raw when him and Seth got whipped with the weightlifting belt, it was brutal. They pulled no punches on that. So yeah, I think this is going to go down. It is going to be an epic match. It'll be one for the record books. Like, you guys don't want to miss this match.
All righty. Chris.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a great match. I agree with Brad, definitely. Do you go with the finish the story, or do you continue this lengthy-ass run of Roman Reigns? Honestly, they're both annoying to me. Just get it done and move on to the next thing.
Damian Priest, baby.
Thank you. Let's go with Cody.
All right. Phantom.
I'm going Cody. Yeah. But I think they're going to build towards Cody versus The Rock for SummerSlam.
The Rock is leaving on Monday to go start filming a movie. He's done after this weekend.
Spoiler alert. No.
That's what they said.
If he's done, then he's good. Then he's screwing rings.
Ed.
I'm going to go with Cody, and it's going to be hard times, and they're going to fill their shoes, pal.
Son of a plumber.
All right.
I know that there's two people on this that know the promo with they were going to fill our shoes, pal. So I can see both of them were smiling. So
that's the third one out of that too. Let me stop by saying I'm going to correct Brady's grandson of a plumber.
Grandson. My bad.
Yes. He's grandson of a plumber. It's going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be epic. There's going to be so much stuff that's going to be a which way out of this, where it's going to branch off to. I think Cody's going to win, but I think it's going to be a big dog and pony show at the end. All kinds of things that happening. Don't blink. You're going to miss it. Probably on at 12:30 at night.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's going to be an epic payoff to whatever happens with the title. And I do see eventually them going to one title belt, like I've always wanted. I can see Cody being the guy to unify the belts and say, listen, we're going back to the Winged Eagle and everything's regular wrestling from here. And it should be good. It'll definitely be worth a watch.
I think it's going to be old school 1990s Attitude Era clusterfuck. There's going to be so much shit going on. You're going to have so much interference. I think that Rollins is going to turn. I think Rock's going to help Cody win the belt, going to turn on Roman. And then I think Damian Priest is going to cash in. They're going to Daniel Bryan, Cody Rhodes, and they're going to have, just as he wins the belt, he's like going to start celebrating. You're going to hear Damian Priest's music hit, and he's going to end up winning the belt. And I think it's going to set up the bloodline splitting. And I think the Usos are going to end up somehow getting back together, and they're going to be with The Rock. And I think that's going to be Solo Sikoa, and it's going to be the other two guys that are going to come into the WWE. Who are they, Andy? The Anoa'i brothers?
Fatu?
Yes. And his brother.
Have you ever seen him?
Yes.
Have you ever? He's a really good wrestler.
Yeah, he's a really good wrestler. And I think it's just going to be a cluster. And then I think they're going to have Cody feud with Roman, I mean, with Seth Rollins for a while. Because they already had something brewing back when Cody blew out his, what was it, his shoulder or whatever it was in that match.
His peck.
So I think it's just going to be a cluster. But I think in the end, Damian Priest is going to win the belt. And they're going to set up The Rock and Roman Reigns for next WrestleMania.
I think Damian Priest cashes in his Money in the Bank. And then you hear the glass break, fellas. And then Stone Cold comes running down the ramp, fellas. And he interrupts Damian Priest. Cody pins him, retains the title. Boom. Print it. That's it.
Wow.
All right, AC, that's it.
All right. So I'm going to try to get this. We're not done. We got tinfoil hat to go. We got some Fritch Street Records stuff. So let's put this on. Hopefully this weekend I'll get it on before the pay-per-view so everybody can say we don't know what we're talking about like they always do. And, you know, it'll probably have the best picks like me during the NFL season. So we'll put a pin in it this week for the wrestling talk. We'll see how we did. Ed actually bailed out. I don't know what happened. So maybe he had to go for a number two after all that wrestling talk.
It's the Phantom.
There must be a rest. There must be a women's match on right now. So, Bradford, you ready to get the tinfoil hat on?
You guys ready to be mind blown?
Yep, let's go.
So this goes back to our Hollywood talk. Kind of ties in with P. Diddy and the Diddler. So Ashton Kutcher,
isn't that a Batman villain?
Yeah. Ashton Kutcher is on the verge of being subpoenaed to come and testify for or against P. Diddy. He is really, really good friends with P. Diddy. So back in 2001, Ashton Kutcher, before he broke big, before he was this megastar, was supposed to go on a date with this woman named Ashley Ellerin. He shows up to Ashley's house at like 10:30. They're about to go to some, you know, after party or whatever, you know, date night. Knocks on the door, gets no answer. She doesn't answer because she's busy getting murdered by a serial killer known as the Hollywood Ripper. Now, this has a lot of undertones of like Black Dahlia, if you guys are familiar with that. Oh, yeah. It has a lot of undertones, even maybe a little bit of Marilyn Monroe, where this, you know, Hollywood starlet, she wasn't exactly a star, but she was a part-time stripper. And, you know, kind of the same thing in the Hollywood, you know, vibe. So she was kind of what people are saying in the conspiracy, you know, interwebs, is that she was sacrificed for Ashton Kutcher to get famous. How many people do you know went to go on a date with somebody and they died via serial killer, Hollywood Ripper style? And if you guys remember Jack the Ripper, big conspiracy that was a bunch of elites murdering women for sacrificial purposes and whatnot. So there's a lot of different undertones just with that alone. Now you fast forward, you know, modern times, he was best friends with Danny Masterson, Bill Cosby, three or four women. He goes to jail for 30 years, kind of in this Church of Scientology connectedness type of thing. Him and Mila Kunis write these letters like you guys were talking about with what's his name on that show. They write these letters on behalf of Danny Masterson, like, oh, hey, we love you, we care about you. And everybody was like, yo, what are y'all doing? This dude's a convicted rapist. Why are y'all writing letters talking about, you know, all this?
I would do it for you guys.
Yeah.
It was
weird, you know. So they caught a lot of heat for that. So now, even right now, he's getting all this heat because he's friends with Diddy, and this interview surfaced where some folks asked him like about these pictures and these parties and stuff like that. And all he said was, there's a lot I can't tell you about what goes on with P. Diddy. So everybody's like, what the hell is going on with Ashton Kutcher? Is he kind of like at the top of the pyramid? Is he more mid-level? Maybe he's bottom rung. We don't know, but he's definitely involved in this mix of, you know, this Hollywood elite, and, you know, a lot of crazy shit has surrounded this guy and his career. So I'll kick it over to you guys.
Thomas, you are the voice of reason. What you got a rebuttal to the tinfoil hat nothing. Segment?
I've got nothing.
I just think that going Dumped back him. To what we were talking about originally with the whole Hollywood setup, I think it's
yes.
There's so much of a gate there, whether good, bad, or indifferent, that you know you see them in these old videos where you could take the hottest girl in your town or city, and every day they're getting off the bus, let's say 70s and 80s. They're getting off every day trying to be the next whatever, or Cindy Crawford or Farrah Fawcett or whatever the it girl was at that time frame. How do you separate a casting call of all 10s when they go in that room? What separates one from another? I mean, and then you see some of these actresses that have been child actresses, like Natalie Portman. I mean, she has no emotion whatsoever. She's not funny. She's got, it's almost like, is she soulless because of some of the things that she's seen or been involved with? You know, think the worst thing that you could think of. You know, is that something that was allowed to happen to her to be, you know, famous?
Who yeah, knows? Harvey Weinstein, man. Right? Harvey Weinstein, however you say it.
Right? So, yep. I mean, this movement is eye-opening for a lot of people that are always like, nah, that's not going to happen. Well, obviously, it's been happening for a long time.
Long time, man.
Phantom, you want to weigh in on that Hollywood stuff?
I think anything that happens in those Hollywood circles today, I'm not surprised by anything anymore. I think there's more weirdos than not. They're all coming out of the woodworks now, and the more you see, the more desensitized you get towards it, because it seems like it's everywhere, and it's not just the people that you'd be like, yeah, I think it could be this guy. It's the regular.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Chris. Oh,
we got phantomized.
He pissed somebody off and uh-oh. Somebody.
He lost power, maybe.
They're coming for us.
Oh, they cut him off. They came for him. Chris, you want to weigh in quick on that, on the conspiracy theories?
I'll pass right through. I'm good.
Yeah. Ed, you had to clean up any of that mess?
No, I'm not. I don't. I mean, that is like a steaming pile of shit, and I don't want to go near it.
So, what we'll do is. Thomas will pay some bills, get some Purchase Street Records involved, and we'll wrap this episode up.
Alrighty. This week's Album of the Week is brought to you by Purchase Street Records, located at 53 Pope's Island, Unit 2, New Bedford, Mass. You can also visit them online at PurchaseSTRecords.com or on their Facebook page. Purchase Street Records is Southern New England's largest independent record store. And one more time, I'll tell you got like 2 weeks to save up your pennies, because National Record Store Day is, I believe, April 20th. And Roger has said that he will have $15 records outside the record store. He's going to have thousands, he said, outside. So he's going to have some bargains there for you all, guys.
And probably some limited edition T-shirts, too, I would imagine, that you can only get if you go to the store, which are pretty cool if you can grab them while he has them, because I've gotten a few over the years. And they're cool.
Legit.
Yep. So I'll drop that in. Boom. One of the twin powers activate right there. Boom. So let's do a little quick shout out. We'll wrap this up for WrestleMania weekend. I was hoping the Phantom was going to be here for this. So, Chris, we'll start with you. Got anything for another week in this podcast?
Nothing special going on here at home. We will shout out the Phantom since he's not here all of a sudden. I mean, I've asked for this guy since, I don't know, episode 15 or so. I've spoke Portuguese to this mofo. He finally did it. I'm so proud of you, Phantom. Thank you for gracing me with your presence. I just need to learn his real name now, and we'll be tight.
Yeah.
Ed, what do you got this week? The guys down at work?
I thank all the guys down at work. No, actually, it was really nice to see the Phantom. I was glad that he finally could make it on, and it was good to see him. So thank you, boys. Great as always. And I'm going to be kind of curious to see what happens at WrestleMania. And we need to talk about that 5-on-5 fight that we didn't get to. We need to talk about that
line fight.
Yeah. And we're also Also, we need one of our fans to ship Brad a Mylick street hockey ball, by the way, because he's never seen one before.
Chris, you might have one of those kicking around, right?
I have a couple of dozen of them in the driveway.
Absolutely. Yeah, there you go. You got to ship one to Brad just so you can see how hard those are if you get hit with one in the cold.
In cold,
yeah, yes. Brad, yeah. You need to put it in the freezer, Brad.
Yeah.
Nice. It is like a cool 70 degrees down here right now. Like, cold is not... does not work with Mississippi. That's not happening.
That's why you need to stick it in the freezer, man.
Yeah.
Well, Bradford, what do you got for a shout out this week?
Man, I don't have a shout out. The boy is on spring break. Everything is calm on the Western Front, all quiet on the Western Front. I do want to shout out Chris. This mic is fucking legit, bro. I got it all set up. It's got this thing, his arm is back and forth, but also, hey, the Phantom's back. Been waiting to meet this guy. Glad he finally showed up.
Rookie move, Brad. Rookie move.
Yeah, those edits are hilarious. Keep them coming.
We gotta keep the edits coming because I want to use them for the thumbnail for each episode. Plus, I want to drop them on all the social media things. Before we get to Tom will send us home this week. I just want to say thanks to the Phantom for finally coming on. It took a while. We're doing big things. We're trying to, push the merch, get the new merch out, all kinds of different things. Hats, finally. People have been asking for hats for the longest time. You can go and get a Tom's Shitty Pick hat. You can even get a bandana for your pet. Anything you want on it. There's all kinds of things on there. You got shirts on one, you got accessories on the other, you can get backpacks, you can get tote bags, you can get all kinds of things. I think there's even a pair of socks on there, who knows? There's a cup holder on there for your jock. There's all kinds of things going on with that. So I want to thank definitely the Phantom for coming on. Keep the thumbnails coming, they're great. I want to kick it to the Phantom quick for a shout out before we hit it to Tom. What do you got, Phantom? Send us home with something good.
I'll shout out my youngest son, Austin. Today they had their first varsity game to start off the his last high school season. He's a senior, so had a hit, started at second base, had a good game, couple of plays. So I'll tell you guys, when you guys all have younger kids, don't blink, man. Next thing you know, you're going to have a 17-year-old and a 19-year-old like me, and I'll be out of the game soon. And I look back on all these car rides and all the talks with them when they were small. Don't take it lightly. It's going to go by fast.
Yeah, before we get to Tom, I want to add to that. I think that at the core of this podcast, why we started it with me, Tom, and Ed, is just so that we all stay connected once a week, talk like if we were watching games like we used to at each other's house, just sitting bullshitting, talking about stuff, making memories every week, even if it's for an hour. That's at the core of what we're trying to do, and that's why I'm thankful that we finally got the Phantom on. So, Tom, take us home.
All right. I got a few birthday shout-outs. April 9th, our old guest, Darren, his birthday, and our old friend in the group, Hav. We want him on the podcast one of these times. You got to come on, buddy. And then the podcast missed a birthday last week. Our fearless leader, the old man of the group, AC's birthday.
The whole effing show.
You missed Area, that. Area 51.
Yeah. first one over the hump, like the Marines. First one in. Last one to leave.
My man qualifies for that senior discount at the Golden Corral now.
No, well, see, if you're going to be a smartass, I already got my AARP card. That came already last year. So when you get it one day, you will say to yourself, I am at a timeline where I can't ever return. So it makes things like this even more special. If I can pull up the hot strings, that's why we're here. So, Thomas, what do you got? Want anything else?
That's it, buddy.
So here we are, face to face, a couple of silver spoons. Here we go. That's the end of this week's podcast. Bradford's laughing already. So we'll see you next week.
See you next week, people.
Happy birthday, Darren.